Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Julie Kelly joins us for an update on the January 6th indictments with the Proud Boys and Ricky Tarrio and whether or not Donald Trump will face more indictments. Then Gene Bailey from Flashpoint joins us for a fun conversation on what is it going to take for the church to rise and to stand. As always, email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Julie Kelly, who has been covering all things January 6th, and it is not going away. This is turning into one of the most covered and prosecuted events in American history. Julie, thank you for joining us. The top story, and we'll dive into many of the angles here, Enrique Tarrio, who is not even present at the Capitol on January 6th, he's receiving 22 years in federal prison, less than child rapists, arsonists, human smugglers. What's going on here?
Right. So this is a message sent to Trump supporters and anyone who has organized a political protest, involved in any sort of demonstration or planning one for 2024, that this could be the consequences. Judge Tim Kelly, a Trump appointed judge, by the way, has sentenced five Proud Boys to a total of 82 years in prison, Charlie. I think if you rounded up everyone involved in the riots 2020 wouldn't even come close to that sort of imprisonment. As you said, Enrique Tarrio, the leader of the Proud Boys, was not in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. He was in Maryland. He was told to leave the city because there was an arrest warrant for him for burning a BLM banner in December of 2020. So now Judge Tim Kelly, using a terror enhancement that the Department of Justice has asked for in multiple cases, including all five of the Proud Boys. And get this, Charlie, the terror enhancement has to do with shaking a temporary metal fence on Capitol grounds on January 6th. He took that act, has now made it a federal crime of terrorism and applied it to Enrique Tarrio, even though he was, you know, miles away from Washington, D.C. on January 6th. This is the sort of insanity that's been happening in these cases for over 2 years that I've been covering and that you have been helping me bring this travesty of justice to your viewers. So thank you, Charlie.
Well, yeah, and you've been right on every prediction. You know, there's a lot of these people that talk a big game and they're wrong about almost everything. Julie, you came on our show months ago and you're like, oh yeah, they're going to indict Trump. And you were the only one that was so bold to say that. And this was before it was in any of the New York Times or any of that. And so let's just kind of reemphasize this because, you know, when you were making the prediction, you realized they were going after Trump. And now there's some breaking news. Jack Smith is not done with Trump. Do you think he's inching closer and closer to your original prediction of seditious conspiracy?
I do. Now, I've been told by people closer to the case, people with better sources than I have at the Department of Justice, that that is not true. But I simply don't believe it. And the Proud Boys case, Charlie, as you and I have spoken about, is sort of a linchpin in tying seditious conspiracy convictions to Donald Trump. A big piece of the Proud Boys trial from the government side was that the conspiracy began on the day that Donald Trump tweeted on December 19th, 2020, come to D.C. on January 6th, will be wild. DOJ has said that that was sort of a calling card, call to action for the Proud Boys. They also cited Donald Trump's comments in the 2020 presidential debate with Joe Biden when Trump said sort of offhandedly, Proud Boys stand back and stand by. They also used that as evidence as part of the Proud Boys plotting to attack the Capitol on January 6th. So now that they have these convictions, they have these excessive sentences by Judge Kelly and all of these headlines, Charlie, this is all to help fuel, I believe, the optic for Jack Smith, who still has a grand jury operating in Washington, D.C., to eventually bring seditious conspiracy charges against the former president. And recall, there are still six unindicted co-conspirators in Jack Smith's four-count indictment against Donald Trump, including people like Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell. So Jack Smith is not finished by a long shot with Donald Trump and the events of January 6th.
And just to remind people, when the 14th Amendment, they probed this out. This is all coordinated, right? So David French, who is good for nothing, and the Lawrence Tribe, they write all these articles. It's all harmonized. And then you still have this grand jury that is still meeting. Donald Trump is currently facing 400 to 500 years in federal prison. And they're looking at any way they possibly can to disqualify him because, you know, Julie, without getting too deep into the politics of this, the media is now acknowledging out loud it's not working. Donald Trump is still within the margin of error. They know that the polls almost always underestimate Trump's support, almost always. That was the case in 16. That was the case in 20. So any poll that shows Donald Trump tied makes them very nervous, even with all their machinery and their nonsense and their clandestine activity and their censorship and all that. And so this is nakedly political by Jack Smith. Let me ask about timing, though. If Jack Smith adds a superseding indictment or a new indictment, would that then be able to delay the timing of the trial post-election?
Yes, it absolutely will. And I've seen the DOJ do this in numerous January 6th cases, including the Proud Boys trial case, which didn't go to trial, Charlie, until nearly 2 years after these men were first arrested and indicted. So if Jack Smith does bring a superseding indictment against Donald Trump, what that means is the DOJ will bring additional charges and add co-defendants. So we already saw Jack Smith do this in the classified documents case in Southern Florida. He started out with two co-defendants and 37 charges and then brought another co-defendant and added a few more. It's very likely that Jack Smith will do the same in the January 6th case. Look, he's not going to be upstaged by Fannie Willis. She's really stolen the spotlight with her ridiculous indictment. But, she brought heavy duty charges against Donald Trump and she roped in some of the most hated people in Trump world, including Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell and John Eastman. So that is Jack Smith, I believe, his next move. And yes, if he does bring a superseding indictment, it will delay the trial. Jack Smith is not ready to take this to trial in March, no matter what Tanya Chutkan, Judge Chutkan, says. Even though this is a layup before a D.C. jury, he is still going to have to present some sort of evidence, not just to the jury, but to the American public, to convince them that these counts against him are legitimate. So I still suspect that there is more to come related to Donald Trump and Jack Smith's indictment of January 6th.
Just kind of going back to the Proud Boy, situation here. I also want you just to comment on how the Department of Justice is not done raiding people's homes and going after people that were just basically spectating. I mean, there's this kind of idea that, okay, the chapter has been... No, just a couple days ago, the Federal Bureau of Investigation raided a man's home in Arkansas. They got his information from his gun safe from Liberty Safe. By the way, if any of you guys use Liberty Safe, stop using Liberty Safe. They willingly gave over the coordinates to this person's, to the defendant's guns to the FBI. And so, Julie, there's almost no end in sight. This could be a 5 to 7 year rolling Stasi operation.
Right. So, Charlie, to your point, and I think I tweeted this last week. Last week was one of the most active weeks in the DOJ's prosecution of January 6th. I was getting alerts, a few alerts a day, announcing new arrests and new charges for even on low-level offenses. Now, this man from Arkansas who was raided, I believe his name is Nathan Hughes, he was charged with civil disorder and a few misdemeanors. He wasn't even charged with assaulting police officers or something ridiculous like seditious conspiracy or obstruction. Yet he was subjected, like so many January 6th defendants, to this egregious armed FBI raid pre-dawn, you know, terrorizing the neighborhood, scaring the family, traumatizing them permanently, calling him off, as you said, working collaboratively with companies, big tech. We've also seen this going on for more than 2.5 years, banking institutions, airlines, you name it. This FBI working hand in hand with these other private entities are helping to accelerate the war on terror against Trump supporters. Matthew Graves, a DC U.S. attorney who was a Biden appointee and was worked on Joe Biden's 2020 presidential campaign, warned last year that he would double the caseload, which at that point was about 1,000. The Federal Public Defender's Office has been warned by the DC courts to prepare for another at least 1,000 cases, because most of these defendants rely on public defenders or court-appointed attorneys because they can't afford six-figure criminal defense attorneys in D.C. This is not going away. And I'll tell you, Charlie, about this. Ongoing silence by Republican leadership, including presidential candidates, is deafening.
Why is the House of Representatives not cutting off the funding? Why are we not seeing Republican AGs indict Democrats? It's really amazing. It's outrageous. It's unacceptable. It's repulsive.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 1970s when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the U.S. government seems bent on continuing the tradition. From now until the next election, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did it, inflation went up 9%. This means one thing. The security of your future and your family's future is all in your hands. Make sure you freeze the value of your wealth that you are holding. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the one asset that has proven to withstand recession, inflation, and just about all other economic threats. Noble Gold Investments is here to help you if you want to invest in gold. You will also get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. They're the only gold company I trust. If you want to buy gold, they do a great job. NobleGoldInvestments.com, they're patriotic, transparent, ethical, and responsive. I think the world of Noble Gold Investments is where I buy my gold from. You should too. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Julie Kelly, do we have an opposition party or just controlled opposition that call themselves Republicans? What, just give us some action items. What could the Republicans do right now?
Well, to your point, Charlie, and I've suggested this a number of times, there are Republican governors and attorney generals who could follow, say, the footsteps of the Missouri versus Biden lawsuit that has been very successful in exposing the government's collusion with big tech related to the election, related to vaccines, related to COVID. Why these attorneys general and why these Republican governors, and I'm looking at you, Florida, because you have the highest number of January 6th defendants, aren't filing a similar lawsuit to defend your own constituents from this abusive, vengeful Department of Justice and calling out the abuse of their First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment right. We have political prisoners in this country, and the Proud Boys are just the latest ones. And so the fact that Republicans in a position of authority continue to do nothing. Charlie, I haven't heard any. The only presidential candidate, by the way, who is condemned Enrique Tarrio in the Proud Boys sentences is Vivek Ramaswamy. You have two presidential candidates from the state of Florida. Enrique Tarrio is from Florida. Joseph Biggs is from Florida. Mm-hmm. They haven't said a word. We're supposed to believe, I'm sorry, that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is going to dismantle the Department of Justice and reorganize or defund the FBI when he can't even come to the defense of his own constituents who are being abused by this Department of Justice. So not only is it the governors, of course, and the Republican attorney generals who have done nothing, but there's a lot of silence coming out of Washington, D.C. You see a few lawmakers, the same ones, Marjorie Taylor Greene, for example, who's been quite outspoken about this from the beginning. And then you have Representative Ken Buck from Colorado, who sent his own constituents, Republican leadership in that state, a really scornful letter defending what the Department of Justice is doing and explaining away the violations of 1A4, A5, A6A. And of course, as a federal prosecutor, Ken Buck, I guess, knows everything, even though I don't think he's covered 1 second of what's been happening related to the January 6th prosecution. So when you have people like Ken Buck defending Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco and Matthew Graves and this FBI, and he has a seat on the House Judiciary Committee, you could see why there's been very little movement in terms of exposing, calling out these prosecutors, calling out these judges, the bogus charges, the excessive sentences, and unfortunately, yet another suicide of a January 6th defendant, a young man, 22 years old, who took his life last week, just a few weeks after being arrested.
I can't believe it. I'm reading this right now from Ken Buck. I know Ken Buck. I'm going to text him and ask him, what the hell are you doing? This is unbelievable. Is it that a lot of these Republicans want Donald Trump in prison? They want this chapter. They don't have the stomach for this. They're sunshine patriots. They get really nervous if someone calls them a bad name. Because the Democrats are just beginning. This is what people understand. I had this conversation with a donor the other day. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, this is all going to be over soon. The Democrats will back off. I'm like, yeah, you know nothing about Marxism or how these people think. This is the chapter one, verse one of their siege against America, Julie Kelly.
It absolutely is. I mean, and think about what happened in these courtrooms last week. You had two federal judges, Tim Kelly, a Trump-appointed judge, Amit Mehta, an Obama-appointed judge. They are codifying into federal law new crimes of terrorism, whether it's shaking a temporary fence, whether it's something crazy like obstruction of an official proceeding, or something totally bogus like seditious conspiracy. They are making these nonviolent, low-level, petty offenses, or something like obstruction of an official proceeding, which is a post-Enron statute, into a federal crime of terrorism. I don't think the Republicans have any idea that this is happening. They're not following these cases. Even though I write about it and tweet about it, they kind of see it. But this is a new territory for the United States. And this is not just going to be applied in Washington, D.C. Since these are federal crimes, they can happen. They can be charged in any federal jurisdiction. And these terror enhancements added to prison sentences. So the fact that you have no one really powerful in Washington speaking out about mm-hmm. this or promising to investigate, call these judges in front of a nationally televised hearing.
They won't.
Like we
they
saw
won't.
J6 committee.
No, they're two words sending money to Ukraine. Julie Kelly, great work. Thank you so much. We'll have you on again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. And like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Delray and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing. And look, I had some complicated stuff. Don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage related, please call them and not the big woke banks. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer, renting, and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form, and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com. The American church is going to determine the future of America. And a very powerful voice, he hosts a wonderful program on Flashpoint, Gene Bailey, who also covers our events very generously. Excited to have him coming up, I think, at AmFest and maybe others. Gene Bailey. Gene, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Charlie. Great to be here. Great to be with you.
So, Gene, let's talk about this new rise or this whisper that COVID is coming back. You've been covering this on Flashpoint on the Victory Channel.
Yes, we have.
Do you think that the church generally is going to comply the same way they did back in 2020 if lockdowns are coming?
Generally, no. They're not going to comply the same way. People are tired. They figured out they could go to Home Depot and have church in Home Depot.
Yep.
Or break open the doors of a liquor store and have church in there. That was okay, but not at their own church. So I think there's a faction that's going to go and do whatever they say and wear a mask and close down, whatever. But there's a much bigger group of people that are saying, no, you can't do this to me again. We're not going to do that. So I'm encouraged by that, Charlie, but we've got a long way to go. We've got a lot more pastors. and churches that need to stand up and be counted.
So, Gene, one of the things that you guys do, I think we have an event coming up we're doing in Pasadena at some point in the next couple months. I'm looking forward to it.
Right.
Is you're rallying the faithful. You're talking to pastors. There's still a fair amount, though, that do not want to get involved in the public square, in the ecclesia. This is something we're trying to solve at TPUSA Faith. What are the objections that you're still hearing from some of the pastors where they say, I don't want to get involved and you're engaged? What are you hearing, and what are the most successful ways to try to persuade them into action?
Well, you know, unfortunately, it's embarrassing to me, but the church still buys into this separation of church and state as if that's in the Constitution somewhere, and that they're somehow doing a loftier goal. I've heard preachers say, well, we're just going to preach Jesus. Well, remember, Jesus was the one flipping the tables over. In the temple, and that's exactly what we've come to. We've come to a place where we're feasting at tables we should be flipping over. And I believe you're going to have to see that. So there's a lot of people that just don't want to be, they don't want, let's face it, Charlie, it's been easy to be a pastor in America until 2020.
Yep.
Now your church is coming to you going, well, what, lead me. You're the pastor. You're supposed to shepherd these sheep. What am I supposed to do now? How do I do this? Do I wear a mask or not? Should I go get the vaccine? Should I not? Do I shelter in place or do I stand up for my rights? So this is a very interesting time for the American church, especially. We're going to have to stand up. We're going to have to do more. And pastors, the heat is on the pastors to stand up. But they still like to go back to that, to answer your question originally. They like to go back to that separation of church and state. Or I just want to, and they'll misquote scripture in Romans about standing up to, we got to pray and submit to authority. It's not talking about ungodly authority. And we can go as far down that path as you want to, but it's
yeah,
not.
No. Riff on that, Gene. Riff. Explain it. We got time. Dive into it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Charlie. What bugs me is that there's so many people out there. You know, this is kind of cool being interviewed for once. There's so many people that are so concerned they're going to offend something or offend someone or offend a certain people group. And so what if it happens? We got pride flags flying on churches, and we got LGBTQ ministers in the pulpit. And this is where America has come to. But we must stand up. We must see this as a bigger call. You said it earlier. The problem in America is not a political one. It's a spiritual one first. We correct the spiritual climate in America, the political will follow suit. And we have history that shows us exactly that. But this whole thing in Romans, where he tried to, it is not talking about leadership. We must obey leadership when it's godly leadership. It is not referring to this. And there are those, there's a faction out there like me that are going, I don't think this is a legitimate president. I'm not calling him President Joe Biden. I'm calling him Joe Biden. I don't think he's legitimate. Therefore, he's not a legitimate authority. So we've got to think a little bit. I'm not saying take scripture out of context, but we have to embrace the reality of what God's word said. And it's not a bunch of weak-willed people that don't stand up for what God said. And this is where we missed it. We missed it in my lifetime. I'm older than you, but we grew up with Jesus on the wall with that, you know, that picture, and that he was so holy, you know, he never did anything. That's not the picture of Jesus that we see in the Bible.
That's right.
This was a guy, like I said, that went and flipped the tables over. He took care of business. We must challenge the authority that's ungodly because of our rights. You know, I know, just like you, I've done more study on the American founding documents, the American founding fathers, and you cannot get away from this Judeo-Christian values that we were established on. I'm not saying we don't be nice to everybody and encourage to worship the way you are. Absolutely. However you want to worship, worship. But don't infringe on my rights as a Christian to stand up for what I believe, because that's what this country was founded on, and that's what I'm going to do.
Well, and that's exactly right. And you look at the form and the structure of the Constitution, it comes right out of the Bible, in particular Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is quoted more than any other book, religious or secular, in the founding of the country. And also on the Romans 13 argument, under the United States Constitution, which we have right here, it lays out that the sovereignty is in the people. And so that means that the leaders in authority are the people. So Romans 13 says, submit to the leaders in authority, for they're there for your good. Well, we are the people. We the people, the leaders should be submitting to us,
right?
Meaning the mayors, the state representatives submitting to us under an American constitutional system. Yet, Gene, sometimes pastors will say, and help our audience here, the kind of skinny jean wearing wokey pastor who, you know, has a larger wardrobe budget than a book budget will say, I only do the gospel. how should they respond to that?
Well, if they're going to do the gospel, then they're going to do exactly what Jesus did. You know, you can't just pick and choose parts of the gospel and say you're preaching the gospel. Listen, Jesus was, he was a wrecking ball. He was the original wrecking ball that came in to rattle things up. We, as believers, if you really believe the scripture, this is, it comes down to, Charlie, do we really believe what the scripture says? If we do believe it, then we're going to stand up for the unborn. We're going to stand up against tyranny. We're going to stand up against totalitarian regimes that try to take over this nation. Why? Because it's anti-God, it's anti-people, and that is not what Scripture tells us that we're to do. We're not to lay down. You know, the whole thing with this Johnson Amendment. Well, you know, we got the Johnson Amendment. We can't talk too much about that because we don't want the IRS to come shut us down. The IRS is not going to shut you down. If you are a church and if you have something to say that's contradictory to the public narrative that you see on MSDNC and CNN and all those people, all those other outlets, then they have to send you a letter first. This is very crucial, Charlie. They have to send you a letter first. If you're a church, a 501c3, then you have opportunity to cure. That's what the law says. You have opportunity to cure this. So they're not going to shut you down. The last thing they want is to be in the public eye shutting down a church because you got First Liberty, you got a plethora of organizations and attorneys that are going to come go, oh, they're waiting for this battle. They're waiting for someone to come after the church. You can't do it. That's not what America was based on. And that whole Johnson Amendment?
I hear it all the time, Gene. You know, we do these pastors roundtable and pastors say, well, I can't say anything. I say, well, even if you wanted to be extra cautious, right? If you don't want to be the Jack Hibbs thing where he's just shooting from the hip, where he endorses candidates from stage and he mails the footage to the IRS, right? That's out there.
He's love
Jack Hibbs. No, it's great. But if you want to be super cautious, you could still talk about what does the Bible say about political matters? What does the Bible say about issues? You could still, and that's 100% safe harbor. But Gene, isn't it that some of these pastors, they're in a place where they don't want controversy. They say, I don't want disagreement. I want to be nice.
Of course. I hate the nice part. I think the time is over for the nice pastor. Nice isn't godly. That's a key thing there, Charlie. We have bought this lie that religion has taught us that to be godly is to be nice, weak, and wimpy. That's not what the Bible teaches. Violent, take it by force. I mean, we got plenty of scriptures that can go back there and say we're not advocating go out and take it to the streets and battle. However, we're not saying you back down from your core beliefs, and this is what we have to do. The church, the epic of the nice pastor is over. If you're preaching that message, you're going to be shut down or you're going to be mowed over. And people are going to leave. Now, here's the interesting thing, Charlie. What has happened since 2020, churches that have pastors that stood up have grown exponentially because people are looking for a leader that knows the scripture, knows what he stands on, and is willing to stand up for that. And that's a leader you'll follow. And if you're not going to a church like that, if you're listening and watching today and you're not going to a church like that, I suggest you leave and go find a church that'll stand up
to the
Christian Bible and do what it says to do.
Well, and if you're
not mad.
Yeah, and if, by the way, there's different rules if you're in the ministry. And you're not, if you're a coward and if you're just not, you're not cut out for it, then go do something else. That's okay. You can go get a 9-to-5 desk job. But you're going to be held to a higher standard. The moment you take the pulpit, the moment you say that you are a shepherd of the flock, right, Gene? And that's okay. I mean this lovingly. I'm not trying to say everyone should go into the ministry, but don't get in the ministry if you're not cut out for the battle. That's where I draw the line. Don't wear the costume, get on the pulpit, and then give me a bunch of excuses.
That's so good, Charlie. And you know that we cannot do. If you go read Ezekiel 33, go read Ezekiel's prophecy where he said, if I don't share the good news of the gospel with you, I'm responsible. Your blood is on my hands. We need to go read the entire Bible, not just the parts we like. And that's what's so important about us. If we're going to stand up, if we're going to make it in this new season, then ladies and gentlemen, we got to stand up, be counted for, and don't back down.
Summer, or actually any holiday season, is such a delightful time, isn't it? A chance to break from the daily grind and enjoy life to the fullest. However, all the fun aside, we often find ourselves taking a break from our health routine as well. Late nights, irregular eating habits, and the indulgence become the norm. But when the vacation season winds down, it's time to get back on track with our help. Although it may not be easy, it's essential to our well-being. If you struggle to return to your health routine, I have a valuable lesson to share. Focus on majors. Prioritize healthy eating, exercise, and above all, quality sleep. Just one more interesting fact about sleep to mention. Drinking more than 2 servings of alcohol per day for men and more than 1 serving per day for women can decrease sleep quality by 39.2%. The Sleep Foundation survey reports, not even mentioning all that indulgent food and late night effects. And sleep is the key to your body's rejuvenation and repair process. It controls hunger and weight loss hormones, boosts energy levels, and impacts countless other vital functions. Good night's sleep will improve your well-being much more than anything else. Sleep is your major to focus on. That's why I recommend you start by taking magnesium daily, but not just any supplement. Get Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. Magnesium Breakthrough contains all 7 forms of magnesium designed to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. The sleep benefits are truly remarkable, and once your sleep is optimized, you'll find it much easier to tackle any and all of the major aspects of your health. Trust me, it's a game changer. Visit magbreakthrough.com/Kirk and enter Kirk10 for 10% off any order. This special offer is only available at magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. That is magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. So, Gene, I want to talk about the positive. I'm seeing more and more pastors rise up, speak up. There is a remnant. It's not a majority. It's probably 10 or 15%. Yeah. But if we can get that to 20 to 25%, the country can be saved. Gene Bailey.
That's right. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Charlie. And listen, we have to, because I have, during the break, I was thinking, what is the most encouraging thing to me? It's the Gen Z and the millennials. It's your audience with TPUSA. These people are coming, younger people are coming bolder and stronger. And that's encouraging to me. And my generation, we're seeing people, young people come forward, and they're coming forward with a different strength than my generation did. But I'm telling you, Charlie, this is great. We've got a long way to go. We celebrate our victories, but we don't take our hands off the wheel.
Yeah, this is the most conservative freshman class in history what we have at Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action. We've never seen anything like it. They are far more conservative than their parents, and they're far more willing to fight. So Gene, we have here a question in front of the church. Will the church strengthen, rise for such a time as this, or will it just capitulate? And it is a question. We see the major big EVA organizations. They're smearing those of us that care about our nation as Christian nationalists. How should we respond to this?
I love America, and I'm a Christian. So if that makes me a Christian nationalist, then so be it. I am not elevating America in front of God. There's where the difference is. You know, the Christian nationalists, they're trying to connect that with the Hitler era of the extreme right. That's not the case. We need to stand up for our faith. And you know what you just said, we're encouraged, but we've got a long way to go, but we must stand up and take the hits. Listen, I take hits. I know, Charlie, with you, nobody ever complains about Charlie Kirk, but they complain about me. And I get
I have no haters, Newsweek. Gene. You realize that, right?
No, I know. I know. And Newsweek, and I've come to embrace the negative. And this is a great thing from Mike Lindell. You know, we were talking, it's like, if I'm not in the news cycle, I'm not doing something right. So the fact is, we have to learn to take the hits. Where is your faith based on? Is it based on the rock? Or is it based on, big screen, skinny jeans and fog machines? We got to make that call. And so what is it based on? So that's why we must stand up. It's so encouraging to see the younger people stand up. And like you said, this freshman class, more conservative than ever. But mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, you need to wake up too. We need your leadership. We need your wisdom. And we need your pastor's wisdom. Nothing speaks louder to the church pastor than people that decide to leave because they're not being fed or they're not standing up for who Jesus is. And that's what we have to do. I hate to say it, but that's what we have to do at this time in this era.
And for the pastors out there that are on the fence, you have to speak out. Read Metaxas's letter to the American church. You have to start speaking out on these issues. And if you are not cut out for it, just leave the ministry. I don't care if, this is I have a lot of fun and all that. Get out of it, okay? As Mark Driscoll said in our program, it was hilarious. He said, a lot of pastors become pastors because it's an indoor job. It doesn't require heavy lifting. I'm like, that's well said.
I'm glad you quoted Eric Metaxas, because my favorite book that Eric wrote was the book on Bonhoeffer. Because if you go back in history, you watch what happened in the world stage when everybody sat back and looked at what Hitler was doing and turned an eye and said, oh, well, that's over there. We don't need to worry about it, or that's this. And then woke up one day and found out what was really going on. But you can go back even further. Who did Hitler watch, Charlie? Hitler was watching the great Armenian massacre that nobody even talks about. Yep. In fact, he said, if the world doesn't do anything with that, then I can do what I want with the Third Reich. So there you go. Stand up, be counted, and keep your foot on the gas.
When the Turks, specifically the Young Turks, went to the oldest Christian country in the world, Armenia, and tried to eradicate a people. Because Turkey's involvement in NATO, the Western world doesn't really honor the Armenian genocide the way that we should, or at least remember it. Gene Bailey, excellent job. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Great to be here.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.